Welcome to the Freedom Friends Show, where we introduce you to all of the different techniques that you can take in order to make more freedom friends. Those who either help you get clients, support you with your clients, or those who just simply help you achieve some level of freedom in your life or business. Well, first off, thank you for allowing me to interview you and for agreeing to come on the show. I certainly appreciate it.
Of course.
Now, I think we met in a couple of different online spaces. I know for sure we were in Be True Brand New together, but I feel like we may have bumped up against one another before then.
You know what? I don't know. I definitely agree with you that we are in Kimra's group, the Be True Brand New.
Of course, the Black Therapist Rock.
Yes, I want to say, I know that you're in Black Therapist Rock with me. Gosh, I don't know. There's so many great groups on Facebook sometimes that we might be in a few of them. I'm not sure. We'll have to look it up.
That's hilarious. So I don't remember where we first met, but I know that you are a counselor as well as a coach. And so I'm always interested in people who are able to balance both of those. And so I'm curious, how did you get started in the helping profession?
Well, I've kind of been in it for a while. I took my first psychology class in my senior year of high school, mm-hmm. by accident, really. I moved from New York. I'm a New Yorker, but I've been in Florida forever. And I moved to Florida for my senior year of high school. I was originally in a pre-med program. I got here and they said, oh, all these pre-med classes don't really count towards anything because they didn't really have anything to equate it to. So I end up taking electives my senior year because I had no choice.
Oh, wow.
I end up in the psychology class just because I needed to fill a space, an hour, and I loved it. Ms. Herlovich, I don't even know if she's still around or not, but Ms. Herlovich was my psychology teacher in my senior year of high school down here in South Plantation High School, a school I went to, and I loved her class. I don't know why, but I just loved something about talking about psychology. It was a whole new field for me. Like, I was, you know, stuck in sciences my whole high school years. So
right.
That was my goal, to do more medical, you know, medical science. And I was going to be an orthopedic surgeon. Like, that was my, I took a little detour, but
from
that's
the feet
what happened
to the head.
Yeah, exactly. So I ended up taking psychology in high school. And so by the time I got to college, my first year of college, I actually walked into school as a pre-med student because I was still kind of not sure.
Okay.
And I took psychology my first semester as well while I was there taking my regular general, you know, biology and algebra, all the classes I take in freshman year of college. And I liked psychology again. I was like, I think I'm going to do psychology, you know, and I kind of just switched over. And here I am. I started college in 1998. So it's been a few years, you know, and
just a few.
I'm still at it and I still love it. Yeah.
I love it. So what's your favorite part of, well, first off, what exactly is it that you do? Who do you work with?
So right now I do a couple different things. I do have a private practice, and so I'm building up my private practice slowly. So I work with a combination of people, typically adults or anybody at least over like, you know, mid-teens. That's just my population. And so I've worked with them and a variety of issues. So I do a lot of stuff with work-life balance and stress. And I have a background in the criminal justice system. So I work a lot with ex-offenders and inmates if they're still locked up, of course. And so I kind of have a lot of different things going on, but that's my passion right now, is to kind of build up that practice. Mm-hmm. I do work full-time. I have a full-time job, so I'm working on eventually sometime at some point, you know, working for myself. Not right this second, but that's my ultimate goal, to work for myself and have my private practice going.
Got it. Okay, so who's your favorite group to work with?
If I had to pick, I was involved in the criminal justice system. So for a few years, I ran a jail program, running a substance abuse program. I have a background in addictions. So I ran a substance abuse prevention / intervention program for the jails here in where I live in South Florida. And I loved it, loved it. And, you know, I actually went to school after I did my psychology, started psychology in college. I decided I wanted to do criminal justice and figure out a way to kind of combine both. Mm-hmm. So I got a minor in criminal justice and a bachelor's in psychology. That's kind of what I did to combine them. And so my first internship was in a jail, and I was an undergrad student. I was about 18 years old. I started school early, so I was in college. I was about 18 years old working in a jail with inmates, and my friends, my classmates thought I was absolutely crazy for even thinking about working in a jail. And mm-hmm. I loved it. Something about that population, they're open, they're vulnerable. They want to soak in all the information that they can get because they don't want to go back to jail, most of them, you know? And so their attitude is, tell me what you know, tell me how I can help you so then I can keep going to, you know, learn some things. I don't have to come back here.
Okay, gotcha. So where did the coaching piece come in?
So the coaching piece for me comes from being a therapist for the past 14 years or so. I'm counting, you know, pretty much coming out of college. I found that other therapists, including myself and colleagues, we were all in a position that sometimes you get burned out very quickly in this field. Mm-hmm. It's draining. It can be draining. It can be stressful because here we are, whether we're doing it full-time, part-time, you know, that part really doesn't matter. You're sitting with people and you're taking in all the information. You're taking on their issues. You're dealing with them. You're processing with them. And, you know, there's a thing called secondary trauma. So that mm-hmm. happens to a lot of therapists where we're hearing it all day. And so a lot of people end up becoming burned out because I can't help anybody anymore. I can't even help myself.
Right.
And so I decided that, well, therapists need help too, you know? And, mm-hmm. and then I thought, well, maybe it's not just therapists. Maybe it's other people in helping professions. So I thought about the doctors and the nurses and anybody like in this field, the medical field that helps people for a living and how you can, that can take a toll on you. So my coaching comes from helping people that are just like me, you know, who've been there, done that, and want to help, but they can't do it on their own. They're tired, they're drained. So most of my coaching that I do right now is for actually for other therapists and people in the helping professions, because
that's
I saw the need there. I said, you know what? I don't want people to get burned out. You know, I've been in the field for a while and I've seen it. I've seen people who have been in the field longer than me are miserable. And I'm like, why are you doing it? Why are you? And so I'm trying to prevent that, or at least help somebody from not going down that road.
Gotcha. So what do you think? Because I work with coaches and nutritionists and herbalists, and really it just seems like people in the helping professions, period, tend to get burned out if they aren't conscious about it, if they don't make a conscious decision to not get burned out or to do things that allow them to, you know, regroup. So what are some of the things that you think those of us in the helping professions could both benefit from in order to avoid burnout?
Yeah, so I mean, the reality is, we talk about this work-life balance, right? And it's never going to be equal. I don't believe in an equal balance. I don't believe it's possible, to be honest with you. That's just my opinion. But I don't really think there's like a 50-50. You're not going to be at work 50% of the time and be able to vacation and relax. It just doesn't happen that way. But what I do think you have to do is schedule time for yourself. So I tell people all the time to practice self-care and whatever that looks like for you. But you have to do it. You have to do it often. So we work, right? I'm one of those people, I work full time and got part-time stuff and side hustles, and I have a family, you know, the whole combination of things. And the reality is we have to get to a point where we still find time for ourselves, whatever that looks like. That would literally be my first tip. My biggest tip is that we have to find time, whatever that looks like for them. So whether it's going to the spa some days, a massage, going to the gym, I mean, I don't really care what it looks like, as long as it's healthy, you know, and, you know, and legal. I say legal because I work in addiction, so I'm not telling people to drink and drug and get themselves in trouble, you know.
Right.
But do things that are going to keep them healthy and sane in this world, you know, with everything that they're doing. So my thing is self-care. And on top of that, of course, I think is really to talk amongst others who have been there. Mm-hmm. So whether that's hiring a coach, and I definitely obviously recommend that, you know, if you're in the field too, I also recommend talking to people who are doing it. So if you have therapist friends, you can kind of shoot the breeze and take, you know, relax sometimes and go through some things, they get it. And I'm not saying you got to sit there and talk about your clients. That's not the whole point of it. But you can sit down with a group of therapists. Shout out to Black Therapist Rock, for example, you know, where you can connect with people who are like, yeah, I get it. Been there. I understand. And they can relate to you. And you can, whether that's debriefing for, you know, for a time or just hanging out, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. But you're able to connect with people who actually understand. Because, you know, if you're outside the field, you don't really get it. You know, I have family members who don't understand what I do. Like, well, we know you're a therapist. We know you talk to people. But what does that really mean? You know what I mean? They don't understand how draining that could be every day, all day, whatever we're doing. So, you know, I mean, self-care and kind of just connecting with people who understand it and get it. Those are my like, probably the biggest tips I could think of.
Right. Are there any ways that you think, is there a way to do therapy that isn't draining, as draining?
I think that depends on the therapist, to be honest with you. Now, I absolutely believe if you are drained like every day, all day after every client, you really got to figure out what you're doing wrong. Because as a therapist, they tell us never to work harder than your client, mm-hmm. right? And I know it right away when I'm doing it. I know it right away. Tisha, I've been in some sessions where at the end of it, I'm like, what just happened? Because I just, you know, and even if you've been in the field for a while, well, you feel like you maybe you talk too much, you gave too much of your energy, and the mm-hmm. client's over there like skipping out like, oh, this is great. And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't have anything less than me, you know? Because it happens.
Oh, yeah. So, well, it's funny because, you know, I'm not in therapy, but I'm an academic advisor during the day and a coach. And you're absolutely right. When I talk more, then I am the one doing the work.
Yep.
And that is when I feel the most drained.
Absolutely. It's the same thing for us. So you get to a point where you got to check yourself. How often is that happening? And will there be some deep sessions where you will feel drained? Absolutely. I mean, I've heard some heavy, heavy, heavy stuff in the work that I've been doing over all these years. People have issues. We all have issues, right? So I'm not saying you're not going to have a day or days or sessions where you're like, wow, I need a break. I need a day off. I need a week off, whatever that looks like. But if you're feeling like that all the time, then I'm telling you, you know, to check yourself, check what's going on with you. Maybe you need a different environment. Maybe you need a different job. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been there, done that in places, environments that were just not healthy environments. Maybe the employees, maybe the client. I don't know. It could have been a combination of things. But there are places that I've worked that I'm kind of like, I got to go, because I realized maybe it's not just me. Maybe it's this place that I'm working at. They're causing stress for whatever reason that I can't do this to myself. I don't want to be burned out. I don't want to have a heart attack at work. I don't want to be stressed so much that I can't even go to work because I'm on disability or whatever happens, because it happens. Mm-hmm. And so you get to a point where you check yourself first and then check your surroundings. What is this job doing to me? And if the job is stressing you, listen, there are people out here who need your help somewhere else. And, you know, my mentality is if it's not working here, then find somewhere else where you can still do service, but not necessarily drain yourself so much.
Gotcha. That sounds amazing.
And to add to that, by the way, I'm sorry, it might also mean changing your population, by the way. So if you work with children, for example, children will drain you sometimes, right? It depends on the population. So if you know that for yourself and you're getting to the point that you feel like you're not even being effective anymore with the children, then maybe it's time to change your population. Maybe you should work with teens. Maybe you should work with adults, you know? I know some therapists who do not work with children at all. That's just not their thing. And it's okay. They might know their limits and say, you know what? I'm good. These five-year-olds, I can't do it. Whatever it is, whatever that looks like for them, you know? And so they change their population, or they just choose not to work with that population at all in the first place.
Gotcha. Makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
That's good. So what's next for you? The new year is coming. We're counting down.
Yes, we are. Oh my gosh. I can't believe it. I'm in the store the other day and I'm seeing 2017 calendars and I'm like stopping. I'm like, what happened to 2016? But to answer your question, gosh, that's such a deep question. What's next for me? So I'm slowly building my private practice. And I say slowly just because that's really a choice of mine. Since I do work full time and I do have a family, I have to balance it out that I'm not working 24/7, you know? I'm not working every evening. I'm not working every weekend. Because then what? When do I, you know, get a break? So I'm slowly building up, you know, some clients and working on that. And just kind of, you know, I'm working on right now just building more of an online presence. Now, I've been online forever, you know, as far as social networking and kind of just hanging out with friends, but nothing more on my professional side outside of my Facebook page, for example. And so I'm working on building more so I can have online clients. And I really want to create programs and counseling courses and things of that nature for other therapists and self-care, maybe a self-care course or something of that nature, and kind of do more coaching and teaching online, just to kind of build that space for myself. That's 2017 for me. I love it.
I was talking to actually both Lisa and Dr. Lucretia, and they're on that same wavelength. So I don't know if you know them, or if you reached out to them.
But I do know. I'm not specific. I have spoken to Lisa, not so much Dr. Lucretia, but I know them from the Black Therapist Group, but I haven't really connected with them in that way, not yet.
Yeah, I know both of, like, you all are definitely on the same wavelength as far as creating courses, online courses in particular for counselors and therapists. So
that's great.
Sounds like some connections could happen.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like you all are working on it, so. Well, that's awesome. So one final question. I want to make sure I don't take up your entire evening. One question that I ask everyone: what's your favorite song right now?
Oh, wow. My favorite song right now. Gosh, I didn't expect that question. I'm trying to think of my favorite song right now. You know what? Like, I listen to a lot. I mean, I listen to the radio, but nothing that I can, like, kind of jump out at me. I still listen to my Jill Scott CDs and my India REs, and, you know, they don't really have current albums out.
That's today, okay. You know?
But, you know, songs on those albums, like Video and Golden, and I mean, that's just those are like classic songs. And anytime I'm in a mood, I will blast my India RE and I will blast my Jill Scott, because those are queens out there doing it and not caring about anything, you know. And those are people that I love, and, you know, I told everybody I'm gonna meet them one day. I'll meet both of them. I don't know where them and Queen Latifah. I got a few people I'm gonna meet, you know. But I would probably pick songs from them. I can't think of anything current that's really, like, sticking out in my head, you know.
Okay, got you. Well, you said Video and Golden, so I'm going to take those.
I did. Yes.
Well, that is awesome. Oh, so where can any of the listeners who are listening in, where can we find you?
So right now, there's a few places you can find me. My website is actually just being developed. It'll actually be done in a couple days. So I'll probably send you the link, so maybe you can add it to whenever this podcast goes live. But outside of that, I am Jackie O'Nappy on everything. So just a cute name that I picked a long time ago. I got nappy hair and that's just what I did. So I am Jackie O'Nappy on every platform, so they can always find me, you know, Facebook, Periscope, and Twitter, and Instagram, everywhere. I'm Jackie O'Nappy. Okay. And then outside of that, I am recently started a project actually with a couple of my friends. So I am a blogger on a website called coverstories.com, and that's CoverStories. So it's cover, but it's H-E-R for her. Coverstories.com. And I'm on there with a few of my girlfriends, and we recently started blogging, so they can check me out there as well and follow us from there. And that's it right now, but I'll be a lot more places in 2017, that's for sure.
I got it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, I am definitely looking forward to seeing how you launch your online course academy for counselors and therapists. I think that'll be awesome. I think that'll be absolutely awesome. So if there's anything that I can do to assist, definitely let me know.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure. Well, as always, I definitely thank you for agreeing to come onto the show. And as I always say, freedom requires friends. So anyone who's listening, if you need a friend like Jackie O'Nappy, you've heard kind of what she's got to offer in the counseling and the coaching space. So definitely make sure that you reach out to her. Thanks again, Jackie.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This episode of the Freedom Friends Show is brought to you by the Coach Your Damn Self Challenge. If you're ready to take back your power and achieve all of your dreams and goals, then join the Coach Your Damn Self Challenge today. That's CoachYadamnSelf.com. CoachYadamnSelf.com.